Hi friends, welcome to the Modern Mamas Podcast. We're two modern mamas with the goal to inspire empowerment, self-love, deep physical and spiritual nourishment, holistic health, and joy, no matter your journey, gender, or perspective. I'm Laura of Radical Roots. I'm a certified CrossFit trainer, certified nutrition consultant, and mama to Evie Wilder.
And I'm Jess of Hold the Space Wellness. I'm a level one CrossFit trainer, a licensed and certified athletic trainer with a master's in kinesiology and mama to Baron Camille. Please note that while we're here to provide advice and insights, we aren't medical practitioners and always recommend that you check with a trusted provider before implementing any changes. Thanks for joining us. We're so happy you're here.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Modern Mamas Podcast. I am here, this is Jess. I'm here with Megan Garcia today, one of our most beloved guests. We would have her on, I feel like I would have you on like once a month if I possibly could, because you're such a wealth of information. Thank you for being here, Megan.
Thank you for asking me to come back. This is my favorite space to be. So,
oh, I'm so glad to hear you say that. Most of you guys know who Megan is, but I'm going to kind of introduce her a little bit real quick, just to give you guys a brief background. And then we're going to dive right in because this is one of the topic we're talking about today is going to be herbs, Chinese herbs mostly. We may touch a little bit on adaptogens because, as Megan's going to tell you, they're different in some ways. And you guys have tons of questions. So we're going to try and work through as much as we possibly can with that. But Megan Garcia is a mama to two boys, and she lives in Los Angeles. She has a master's degree in traditional oriental medicine and is the creator of First Foods and Beyond. Her main gig for the last 10 years has been copywriting, editing, and research for folks in the health and wellness industry. When Megan found out she was pregnant with her first baby back in 2011, she began going deep into baby health and wellness, specifically a baby's first 1,000 days. Her interest in baby health, combined with a big love for all things food and gut related, has become the heart and soul of what she does in her own little corner of the web at megangarcia.com. Well, that was amazing. I've heard that introduction before, but it still sounds awesome. How are you doing today, friend?
I'm good. Yeah? It's been a busy morning, and, you know, that's exciting. There's a lot going on, and just taking it in stride, and you know, that's kind of how I roll. So
a lot of good things happening in your world.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm gonna go, I'm heading up to San Francisco for a doctor's appointment for my oldest son, and that's happening, I think it's next week. So we're going to be camping instead of staying at a hotel or anything like that. Ooh. And we're going to stay somewhere around Laura. So it's Big Basin, I think, is the camp site. And it's the Huckleberry one. And it's supposed to be beautiful. And I didn't know that it would fill up so quickly, but we managed to get a spot and everything was full. So it was really, I felt like it was kind of like meant to be. It's perfect. And so we're going to be probably meeting up with Laura on Friday, which would be the 12th. And she's going to camp with us.
Yay! That's so fun.
And I'm super excited because we don't get out much.
I feel you.
Yeah, like we like go hiking and we try, but it's in LA. So
right.
Like my kids have never seen the stars, like the real stars that I know, because there's so much light pollution and just like a campfire and that whole thing, the trees and everything. I'm just so excited about it. So that's happening.
Have you met Laura in person before, or is this going to be the first time?
Never. I feel like we've talked a lot, so mm-hmm. I feel like we have, but no. And it's going to be, it's always different when you meet somebody in person because like you either think they're like taller or something. it's just a different thing, you know?
Yes.
And it's going to be fun, but I know we're going to have a great time and it's going to be good to connect and not talk. Like when we do talk, it's always through like Instagram or Voxer mm-hmm. or whatever the app is. And it's spotty. It's like, you know, she says something, I say something. And so it's more of a dialogue. It's going to be so great. Really excited. Oh,
I'm so jealous. I wish I could go too, but that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Well, very cool. Sounds like a lot of just life mixed in with some really good things coming your way.
With you.
Do what?
What's happening with you?
Let's see. We just did a catch-up episode, and most of the listeners know, like, we just moved. We're just going to catch up on this episode, too. We moved houses, which was great. It was awesome. But, you know, moving just takes a lot out of you. Laura's going through that right now. So we talked about that in our last episode. But moved, big job changes, just all sorts of really good stuff. But it's just, like, stressful. Like, you know, you talk about good stress and bad stress, and that, you know, good stress can tax your system just as much as bad stress can. Just kind of, I'm learning how to, like, mentally work through all of that. Do you know what I mean? Without going to that, like, fight or flight response.
Definitely.
You know, I feel like that has been such a learning process for me. So that's what I am working through. And I feel like I'm going to learn, maybe not specifically about my own stuff that I, like, the stress response stuff, but I feel like I'm going to learn a lot through this episode on how to kind of support myself with some of those things. And you and I have already talked, like, about some of the problems that I was having, with, like, heavy periods and, like, feeling weird. You had recommended some herbs for me. And so I can, like, personally attest to them working and that you're amazing and a genius. So I'm excited for you to share your wealth of knowledge with everybody. And I know today we kind of, like, if you guys haven't been following along, we have a previously recorded episode. Pretty much almost the whole entire episode was about, like, cold, flu, immune support with herbs, and different things like that. I know it's the season coming up where that's going to be a big thing. We got a lot of questions about that here the second go round, but we tackled that really heavily in our first herb episode. So this episode today, we're going to kind of get back to basics, talk to Megan a little bit about, like, what are herbs and what's the Chinese approach to utilizing them. And Megan and I have kind of been talking off camera, quote unquote, a little bit, but there's a kind of a whole different language when it comes to like Oriental medicine and herbs. And I'm really excited for you to give us a brief introduction or like a rundown of what that is and how we can kind of use that information to not diagnose ourselves, but help ourselves.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Definitely. Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to dive in?
Okay.
Do you have anything else you want to talk about before we get into the nitty gritty?
No, I think that's a perfect little segue because, like, you know, there are so many stressors that we all have to deal with, and learning how to manage them is really important. You know, herbs are only part of the story too. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to say, like, this herb can do this and this herb can do that. And I take herbs every single day. I take them mainly to, like, rebuild myself, because, you know, I've had 2 kids, I burn the candle at both ends, and I push myself probably more than I should. And, I just use herbs to, like, stay afloat sometimes. Mm-hmm. And they really do work. They're really amazing. But at the same time, that's only part of the puzzle. And I think, you know, probably, like, I don't know what else you're doing to manage stuff happening in your life, but personally, like, I need to do things like meditate and just practice kind of mindfulness exercises because they can only go so far. And so, you know, I've had experience with postpartum anxiety. I've had depression on and on throughout mm-hmm. my life. And so, like, I really, like, understand that situation and I can feel it and get it. And, you know, meditation for me or some other mindfulness practice has been huge. And also exercise fits into that. Because if you think about it, like, when you're exercising, whether it's like yoga or kickboxing, you're in the moment, you're in your body, you have to breathe in a certain way. And so just to get certain things to move and flow. So it all fits together. And I just wanted to say that before starting, because I think movement. So one of the important things that herbs do is they replenish and they move things, and that movement can happen on different levels. And so the herbs work, like, in the body, kind of like a food, but, you know, we also have, like, our mental movements and our mental stagnation and our emotional stagnation. So that's why I kind of, like, mention physical activity and some kind of mindfulness or therapy or something to work through those mental, emotional things that we may carry. I think
absolutely.
That's really
important. I'm so glad you mentioned that too, because I feel like, especially in today, like adaptogens and things of that nature can be such like a buzzworthy topic or like a buzzword. And people are like, what adaptogen or herb can I take that will fix XYZ? Yeah. And it's like you said, it's not as simple as just like, it's not like a prescription drug. You know, I mean, in the way that we think of prescription drugs, like solving a problem. And I think regardless of where you are, like if you are more traditional medicine, like in terms of like I love over-the-counter and prescription drugs, or if you are kind of searching for this more holistic way to address things, you have to, whatever it is, it's not just a X causes Y problem, right? Like just like what you said, there's many, many things that go into it. And I really resonate with what you saying, like postpartum anxiety and depression. I've been through a lot of the same. And I will say like, you know, supplements and things of that nature are a huge part of how I support myself, but it's so much deeper than that. Totally.
Yeah.
Like, we talk about therapy and mindfulness and mindset all the time here because I feel like it's a really powerful tool.
It is. It's huge. And not to say that herbs like aren't effective, mm-hmm. but that just plays such an important role. I mean, if you can like take a step back and center yourself, or just if you have heart palpitations, just kind of like calm down and like reset and take some deep breaths, that is instantly effective, mm-hmm. And it's free and mm-hmm. it's easy. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm so excited.
Okay. So the first thing we're going to talk about, so adaptogens, and I guess like some of the common, like the big places where you might get adaptogens would be mm-hmm. Through Amazon, the places or the people who make them, that would be, and these are companies that I haven't tried personally, but Moon Juice Shop, they're known for their adaptogens, Sun Potion. I know the makers of a company called Jing Herbs, and they've been around for a while, and their herbs are great. Jing Herbs is J-I-N-G Herbs, and they're on Amazon as well. I use a lot of herbs from a company called Blue Poppy, and they're like big in the TCM community or the Chinese medicine community. And I like tend to lean more towards like Chinese medicine brands, as opposed to sort of like more mainstream brands, but that doesn't mean that they're not great. They just seem to be a little overpriced, and I just, that's, and I don't know if the quality like computes into that higher price tag. There is a company called Classical Pearls, which is my all-time absolute favorite. They are only available through an acupuncturist, and they don't do so much like adaptogens or tonics. They do more like complex, hard to treat disorders, like maybe like some autoimmune disease, Lyme disease, infections, that type of thing. Amazing. I love their quality. So great. And then there's another company. I'm just telling you all this so that way, I don't know if you want to check it out. There's another company called Spring Wind. And again, they're also more TCM, and they do raw herbs. And you have to have a practitioner's account to get something from them. But if you know a friend or you know somebody who, or an acupuncturist who would work with you, they're great. And they do have some products that are available, you know, to the masses. So that's some sources for you. And then you can also like Google the herbs, you know, on Amazon, or just like search and they'll pop up. You can shop through, for them that way too. Okay.
That's a great place to start. I mean, that's like, I mean, I feel like that's a valid place to start with handing out information. It's like, okay, where can I even get this? But just to back up for a second. So yeah. If you, like, you're going to give us a lot of information in this podcast to kind of help people try and navigate, like, what do I need? But if someone is really like suffering from something that's like a medical condition, do you recommend finding a local acupuncturist? Is that who they would be working with to get these very specific combinations of herbs?
Yeah, that's a great point to make. You know, I am not an acupuncturist yet. I have my master's degree in Chinese medicine, and I'm not a doctor. And so this is all just my experience and things that I've read and people that I've worked with. And it's based on my education in Chinese medicine. And so if you really want a legitimate, like, sort of like answer to what you're going through, it's probably best to work with an acupuncturist or even a functional medicine practitioner. with an acupuncturist, they're going to know obviously like more about Chinese herbs. And I talk a lot about Chinese herbs because I just understand that language. And I think it's like really beautiful and amazing how they all fit together. And they just work on so many different levels. Whereas like Western herbs are more like this one herb does this one thing. And so it's harder for me to understand the Western herb language. Because I can't see the full picture. It's like, what's that one artist? There's like an artist that does a bunch of dots and you look really close.
Oh, yes.
I don't know. Like it just, to me, it's like TCM or Chinese medicine. It's just, I can see how everything flows mm-hmm. together. It's this whole story and it just makes sense. And I can see also the evidence that it works. So yeah, for sure, definitely work with an acupuncturist. And there's a couple that I know actually that are in our community. So maybe we can later on link like mom acupuncturist.
That would be fantastic. Like if you maybe at the end, or even if we don't discuss it here in the podcast, I can put them in the show notes as just a resource if people want to reach out directly. But I mean, do you want to dive in? Because I really love what you said about understand like how Chinese medicine approaches it from like an overall picture and how you understand how everything works together. Can you give us a little bit of background about that approach to herbs and health and how everything's connected?
So, okay. So Chinese medicine sees things in terms, and I've talked about this before, like, hot and cold and there's damp and phlegm, and they see like, in the language of Chinese medicine, there's this like kind of understanding that you have like different elements. There's the fire element, the wood element, the metal element, the water, and the earth element. And they kind of like all flow together. And it's very poetic. And so when we're talking about herbs, we're looking at them from this perspective. And so, you know, like during pregnancy, for example, you have like a little like ball of stagnation in you. And you want that little ball of stagnation, the baby, to stay there. So you don't want to take anything that's heavy or moving. And that's a really important thing to know, because some popular adaptogens would move things too much. I mean, I guess I could talk about that right now. So like pearl powder, for example, is a really popular beauty adaptogen, mm-hmm. and that is heavy. And so that is contraindicated during pregnancy. Rhodiola is another one that's really amazing for lifting energy, moving blood. It can be calming. So it has an emotional component. And I haven't seen any. So in Chinese medicine, rhodiola is not like a classic Chinese herb. It's kind of like added on later, even though it is used in Chinese medicine. It's a newer herb. So there's no information on whether or not it's contraindicated during pregnancy. But because it's moving, I would say I probably wouldn't take it. It's also energizing if you have like heart palpitations or anxiety. I would exercise caution. And postpartum, it is energizing, and that energizing effect may affect baby, or I've also seen it cause more reflux and colic in a newborn. Mm. And that's good to know, because postpartum moms are looking for energy. So
yes,
that herb. But it's actually, I would use caution. But it can be great. If it works for you, then fabulous.
Right.
Cordyceps would be another, it's a mushroom that like traditionally it like sprouts out of an ant's head or something.
Oh my God. I have no idea.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
I mean, I guess the fungus like infects the ant.
Ant head cordyceps do you have to gather to make a mushroom powder?
Well, and so, I mean, if you think about it, like the story of like, okay, there's this like mushroom sprouting out of an ant's head, and also ants in Chinese medicine. So anything can be an herb in Chinese medicine. It can be a shell, it can be a stone, it can be an insect. It can be just many, many things are herbs, like quote unquote herbs. So ants are herbs, and ants are very powerful chi tonics. And when you think about it, or like chi tonics, meaning energy tonic. Mm-hmm. And so when you think about it, an ant can lift a lot. So that kind of makes sense. And cordyceps is like sprouting out of this like really like powerful herb. And so it has very lifting, energizing effects in the body. And so Because of that, you wouldn't want to take it when you're sick. You wouldn't want to take it if you have like a lot of like excess heat, which can show up as like headaches or stress, like stress related like response that's kind of like over the top, like you feel cranky and irritable, restlessness, that kind of thing. That like, that's an indication of a lot of heat, and cordyceps would actually like make that worse. And it kind of makes sense when you think about like the origin of the herb, right?
Totally makes sense. That's just fascinating to me. You know, I didn't want to interrupt you a ton with this because I feel like you just have so much knowledge that I want you to like spill. But like I of course have been doing like some adaptogenic mushrooms and like some blends and stuff. And I have found for myself that I have to steer clear from cordyceps when I am like feeling, what's the word? Stressed or anxious, I guess, would be the best description of it, because it does make me feel more that way. Is that like kind of what you're saying? Like if I'm in that state where it's like a heat state, that it would do that?
So for a lot of moms and women, a lot of women are moms. You know, we have a tendency to lose, there's a tendency to sort of like lose a supportive energy in the body. It's called yin. And when that drops down, a lot of like heat can rise up. And that's what you see with like hot flashes, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you can go through that early on or later on. It depends on kind of like your constitution. So that's one way that heat can arise. It's just through depletion. You're depleted. So that can show up as night sweats, insomnia, anxiety, that type of thing. And then there's another type of heat that's more like, more about stress, and it's more about stagnation, things not moving, where stress can't pass through your body. You're kind of like holding on to it. And that in itself creates a kind of heat in the liver. And so, from a Chinese medicine perspective. And so, yeah, that's exactly, what it would kind of aggravate, is that heat in the liver.
That is so mind blowing to me. Okay. You mentioned constitution. So like, is that's obviously like a Chinese medicine term. Like what does that mean?
So constitution is like, you know, how some people tend to, they just tend to, like everyone's different, right? And we all have our tendencies towards certain things. You know, like we might be a little phlegmy. We might be a little like, more high strung, more wired, and there's nothing bad or good about it. Because if you think about it, a person who's like really high energy, they're going to get a lot done. And then at the same time, they might not take enough time for themselves and they might burn out. A person who's a little more slow, maybe they take time to self-care, but they're also kind of more stagnant. And so sort of problems can manifest in different ways. And the constitution has to do with the body, but it shows up in emotional, mental ways as well. So it's all interconnected.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So, speaking of mushrooms, reishi, is that one that you take, or
I do sometimes if I remember in the evenings. Usually, I'm trying to like increase my energy throughout the day, which is when I like think of taking like the blends. But yeah, I do reishi like the hot chocolate mix at night occasionally.
Oh, yeah, because you do the Four Sigmatic, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. They seem great. Yeah, that seems like a really great company. I haven't tried their stuff, but it seems like they have some good stuff.
Oh my gosh, I'll send you some. I have a ton. So, just off the record. But yeah, so tell me about reishi. Like what is that? Is that what I've read is it's kind of like a stress supporter, like it kind of calms you. But I literally, that's about all I know.
Yeah, it's calming. It's a Shen tonic in Chinese medicine. So Shen is the word that's used to describe like the spirit in the mind. And so if you have like really clear, bright Shen, then you're like really chipper and just focused and clear, and you just have like a really like full spirit kind of flowing through you. And so reishi is a huge sort of tonic or adaptogen that supports that sort of heart energy. And it's calming. It's both calming and kind of like energizing. It helps to build blood and energy. It's also really good for cough and asthma. And you know, I used to work, at a little herb shop, like back in the day when I was a student for Chinese medicine. And, a lot of pregnant moms took Reishi, and the people who like worked with me, they always said that those were the calmest babies. I don't know if that's true.
Got me thinking.
Reishi's like really good for like the heart energy, but also like the actual like heart. So, you know, if you know somebody that has heart issues, it can be really great. I don't know of any contraindications for pregnancy or for breastfeeding. It's a pretty like neutral, fabulous herb. You may not feel the effects in a profound way like you would a stimulant. Or, you know, there's an herb called, the Chinese name is Suanzao Ren. And that is in the tender teeth from blue poppy that I talk about sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it really promotes sleep. And you feel that. Like it is, you take it and you feel sleepy. So there's some herbs that have a really like strong effect and some that are a little more subtle. And I think Reishi falls into that subtle camp.
Awesome.
Long term. Yeah.
You had mentioned, I'm sorry to keep interrupting you. I'm sure you're like on a roll here, but like you mentioned building blood. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Can you explain that a little bit too? I know I've heard you talk about it before, like just in our one-on-one conversations, but like, what does that really translate in terms of like what most people might understand, like traditional medical jargon?
Yeah. So building blood isn't so much like related to like anemia as it is in Western medicine. It's more about like, you know, if you're blood deficient, which many women can be because of pregnancy and childbirth, you lose a lot of blood. We also bleed every month.
Hi friends, Laura here with some exciting news. Four Sigmatic has come on as a Modern Mamas podcast sponsor. We are so excited. If you've been following along with my Instagram stories especially, you've seen that I use this stuff every single morning. The Lion's Mane Elixir is my absolute favorite. I add it to my boosted coffee for an extra boost of brain clarity, productivity, and focus that I genuinely did not experience until I started adding this in every day. They also make other elixirs like Reishi for calming, Cordyceps for an energy boost, and Chaga for an immune boost. Along with those elixirs, they also have really cool blends. I love the Lion's Mane and coffee blend when I travel because I don't have to worry about getting my hands and lips on high quality coffee. I have it ready to go. All you need is hot water. You mix in the blend and you're set. They have caffeine-free options as well, like a chai latte and a turmeric latte for gut health and skin glow, and they have all kinds of incredible blends. I cannot recommend enough that you go check out their website, find whatever mushroom blend is going to fit with your lifestyle, and give it a try. The awesome folks at Four Sigmatic have offered our listeners, you guys are special, you get 15% off any order. If you go to foursigmatic.com/modernmamas or simply type in Modern Mamas, all lowercase, all one word at checkout, you get 50% off. Check it out, see what fits your life, and happy shrooming.
So if you have a lot of blood loss, and even if you don't have a lot of blood loss, if you don't have the energy to make blood, you also might be deficient in blood. And so that can lead to things like insomnia or anxiety or hair loss or just things that like the blood supports these aspects. So like there's a popular tonic called Hushawu, or not tonic, adaptogen. It's also a tonic. I call them tonics, but popularly in the mainstream, they're called adaptogens. But okay. Hushawu is a really popular one, and that's the actual Chinese name. And that helps to build blood. And so it can support fertility. It's good for hair loss. And some of the blood builders that we might talk about, like they can also be a little, sometimes like heavier. And so you would want to use caution if you have like sensitive digestion, or you find it hard to digest certain foods, because from the perspective of Chinese medicine, they can interfere with your digestion a little bit. And that may or may not play out in real life IRL. So,
gotcha. Okay. So, so we've gone through a couple. So we've talked, we got a lot of questions about like adaptogenic mushrooms, and you mentioned cordyceps and reishi as being two like of the major players. Do you have any other, I guess, recommendations in terms of like those types, like the mushrooms,
mushrooms.
In safety during pregnancy and nursing.
Yeah. I mean, as far as I know, so chaga and like lion's mane, those aren't Chinese herbs. Okay. So I'm not as well versed in those. That takes, you know, me sitting down and like really digging deep into each herb to really understand it. But I've taken them before. I've used them. I used to work at a little tonic herb bar after I worked at the tonic herb shop. And I made like blended drinks and smoothies and all these things. And my experience with lion's mane, you know, it's great for to support the brain. And it's really mild and safe. And it also supports, with all mushrooms, you see a boost in your immune system protection. So mushrooms will support your defenses.
Have you ever seen, I have a friend who has Hashimoto's. And so she was like, I am going to try adaptogenic mushrooms, but she's like, I'm kind of worried because I think that they've caused a flare before. Have you ever seen like them stimulate an immune response? Like for some people who may have like autoimmune conditions, is that like something that people want to be aware of?
That's a great point. Yes. Because like astragalus and a lot of mushrooms, they do things with the immune system. And so, you know, pregnancy, your immune system does a little flippy flop, and then you get, it might kind of turn on and a trigger after you have baby postpartum. And so if you're also taking herbs during that time, it can either be good for you or not so good for you. And it can definitely be a trigger. And that all depends on where you're at and what is your trigger in terms of like the arms of the immune system. So it depends on each herb and it depends on your response.
Gotcha.
Individual. Yeah. That's a great point.
Yeah. And I feel like it's just being aware because it's like not everybody's made the same and not everyone's going to react to like anything the same. And that's why I love about what you said before we got on the recording. It's like to really, really make recommendations. Like someone has questions like, how do I support XYZ? It's like, you really kind of have to like dig in a little bit deeper to the specific symptoms because someone could be like, I'm anxious. And another person could say, I'm also anxious, but the nuances to that may be like very different. And so from what you can correct me if I'm wrong, what I heard you say earlier was that like you may have two completely different recommendations for the same overall experience, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the beauty of Chinese medicine. And that makes something like adaptogens and herbs just sort of available for use. That it makes it a little harder, you know, because there is a way to kind of say, okay, like you're sick, you have a sore throat, take this. But, you know, for example, I have a friend who took a classical pearls formula that I love, and it's to clear infection. It's fabulous. It works really, really well. But she felt kind of queasy, and that's probably because they're cold and they're bitter. And so she leans more towards like what's called spleen qi deficiency or digestive, like a weakness in her like quote unquote spleen energy. And so it really is unique to each person. And so the best thing you can do when taking these is to just listen to your body, kind of like when you introduce like an allergen to baby. You just want to go one at a time probably is the best thing to do. If you're new to herbs and you're really not quite sure what your response might be and you're not really working with anyone, I would, and there's no person that you can like call to like check in with about, oh, this is happening. Do you think it might be like related? And you can email me. Sometimes I don't get back. Like it takes me a week or so, but, I try really hard because I love the connection that I build with people. And it's also good to just, you know, like, it's a learning experience for me too. Even though I know all these things through a textbook, and through like my client, the people that I worked with in the clinic, it's still every person is different. So the more people I talk to, the richer my understanding is and the more I can help people afterwards. So,
Totally. experiential learning. I cannot talk today. I mean, I feel like that's with anything. It's like you can learn a ton through a textbook or in a class, but once you're out in the real world practicing and seeing it applied, that's where the real like mastery comes, I feel like. So, and you're so generous. I mean, you share so much. I mean, you guys, she comes on podcast after podcast, gives us so much free information. And you're just incredible. And I just want to interlude here and just say that we appreciate you so much and your knowledge.
Thank you. I love being here. Yeah.
Yeah. So kind of diving back in, because I know, like I mentioned before, there's so much I want to kind of try and get through in this little time period that we have, but we've kind of talked about some basics. Is there anything more about like basic understanding of how this works that you want to add before I get into, I really want to dive into like postpartum nursing specific things?
Okay. I don't think so. The only like thing that I really want to emphasize is if you're taking something to move, I would have caution around pregnancy. If you're taking anything like quote unquote heavy, I would have caution around pregnancy. Herbs that are kind of like sour or pull things in, that's great for fertility and also for pregnancy. If things are heating, you want to be careful in terms of like your stress levels. And the other thing with adaptogens is a lot of them are like what's called tonics. And so if you're sick, you don't take tonics while you're sick because that can actually prolong the illness. So this point is like really surprising to people. Like astragalus is a really well-known booster of the immune system, and also cordyceps and also reishi. But you wouldn't take these when you're sick because it's actually going to work against you improving.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible. So good information there. To kind of give some people some practical information in terms of like fertility and pregnancy, what would be like your favorite top three? This may be not the greatest question, but like top three herbs that come to mind for fertility and pregnancy during that stage?
For pregnancy, I would be very cautious with herbs. I would do a lot of ginger, probably.
Okay. So ginger, technically, I mean, like you said, anything is an herb, basically.
Yeah. I mean, and even ginger, like in Chinese medicine, it's very heating. So work with your body. But it can be helpful. So ginger, you know, cordyceps, I would probably stay away from. Astragalus, I don't know, that might be okay. With astragalus, you don't want to take it during your third trimester. I do know that because it does have like it kind of can like help you to release fluids. And so they just say not to take it during your last trimester.
Gotcha.
Which is important information. Also, if you have like a lot of stress, you wouldn't take astragalus. Reishi would probably be what I consider like one of the safest herbs for pregnancy.
Gotcha.
And then for breastfeeding, right? Didn't you guess for breastfeeding?
I didn't say breastfeeding. I mean, I said fertility, like, so maybe preconception. And then during pregnancy, you kind of said that like use caution with all herbs essentially.
Yeah. You know, I think for fertility, maybe cordyceps could be okay. Hushawoo would be fabulous. For fertility. Sazandra would also be very good for fertility. What else would be good for fertility?
Is Vitex an herb? I've got a lot of questions.
It's a Western herb, okay. And that's really great also for fertility, but it's not, I don't know the temperature and the channels it enters and all that stuff. But just, yeah, it can, I think it like boosts progesterone levels, and it's really great for fertility.
And I've heard another one is chaste berry. Is that something that people use often for fertility?
I think that might be the same as Vitex.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, gotcha. So. Okay.
And then, you know, holy basil is, I would use that before having a baby. It's not recommended during pregnancy, but yeah, you can take it during, when you're just trying to get pregnant.
Right.
So fertility, else. Yeah. I think in terms of like the broad spectrum like popular adaptogenic herbs, I would probably stick with reishi and Sazandra and Hushawoo.
Okay. So then kind of switching gears in that postpartum phase, because I feel like this is the tricky part where most moms are trying to breastfeed or they're breastfeeding and they're not sleeping well. Immune systems are kind of wonky. This is where it's like this very kind of like the perfect storm for imbalance. Mm-hmm. And yet we also want to be mindful still of what we're taking because we're nursing and, you know, all of that stuff. Do you have, I'm trying to make this like something that's like kind of bite-sized for everybody, even though I know it's very in-depth. Are there certain like herbs that you'd recommend for postpartum support? And like, I'm thinking of all the questions we got. We got like, how do I sleep better in postpartum? How do I like support my thyroid in general? How do I support my immune system or my energy levels in a safe way? So some of those were like the topics that came to mind, if you have any recommendations.
I mean, I think for that, I use formulas personally. Okay. I have for myself and with friends. I think that though for what's available, you know, online, I would go more with the Ayurvedic herbs, which would be more like from India. They have a whole system also of medicine and herbs. And it's similar to Chinese medicine, but slightly different. And I don't have as much experience using these herbs, but like ashwagandha would be, it's supposed to be very calming. It's also energizing. It can help with sleep. So that's kind of like an all around really supportive herb, ashwagandha. And then there's another one called shatavari, which is actually really similar to asparagus, tian. Yeah, it's in Chinese medicine, it's an herb as well. And that you wouldn't want to use it during pregnancy, but it's supposed to promote lactation. And it can be great for constipation. But it's also in Chinese medicine, if I look at like the Chinese medicine herb, it's kind of cold. So if you have like any like digestive issues, you would want to probably take something that's a little heating with that. To balance it out or just not take it at all. Or, and also like ashwagandha is, kind of that energy moving tonic. So that might go well with, the shatavari.
Gotcha.
I'd probably go in that direction or work with an acupuncturist.
Right. And you had mentioned reishi or an herb for like sleep aid. Would reishi fall into that category to kind of help restlessness or insomnia, or is there anything that you know of that would help better than that?
For insomnia, that one formula from Blue Poppy, it's called Tender Teeth. Okay. So, but that has an herb called Suan Zhao Ren. It's S-U-A-N space Zhao, Z-A-O space Ren, R-E-N. Anyone wants to write that down?
Going to be Googling that later.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not widely available, but it is a really popular herb in Chinese medicine and it's amazing for sleep. You know, like holy basil is good to relax. Pearl powder is really good for sleep as well. But again, that's not for use during pregnancy. You know, I think reishi is, it's not a profound effect. It's like more like subtle calming. It's not so much for sleep. It's more for like that, just calmness, like calm, open, that calm, expansive, open sensation that you have when you're like really in the Zen moment.
So maybe like, that's why a lot of people recommend it like in the evening to just, it's not like it's going to necessarily keep you asleep, but maybe kind of setting your mental state to be in a more relaxed place to prepare for the sleeping.
Yeah. Like if you were going to make like a tonic at home, you know, you could do like some pearl powder, some reishi, some of that, which I have not used, the shatavari. I think you can get that maybe at Sun Potion or the Moon Juice Shop. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Or online. I haven't used it personally, but I do use the Chinese medicine equivalent all the time. And it's very yin. And so that like yin feminine, quote unquote, feminine energy is something that you want to promote during the evening hours. Gotcha. So, yeah.
Awesome. What else, friends? I mean, I feel like we could talk forever, but what else is like burning on your mind that you want to get out in this podcast?
Honestly, just like a lot of gratitude and love for the amazing community that you have around your podcast and all the things that you do, and just so thankful to be a part of that. And that's pretty much what I want to say. Love you all, guys.
Man, I didn't expect that. I think I'm gonna cry. I thought you were gonna like talk about herbs, and I'm like, oh, I'm emotional today. Well, thank you. And you're a huge part of that. I mean, I think you were like on our, gosh, maybe one of our first 10 episodes that we ever did. And so I don't even know, how did we connect initially?
I think we met through Instagram, maybe.
Or was it Liz? Maybe it was Liz Wolf. I think I was asking her, like, who do I talk to about like first foods? And she was like, you need to like check in with Megan or whatever. And so, I mean, right back at you, I feel like you're such a huge part of our community and you're very active in our Facebook group and you just bring so much information. And you guys, like Megan, she personally, for both Laura and I, we like probably abuse our privileges more than we should, like asking her questions about ourselves and what to do. And you are literally one of the kindest people that I know and the most willing to share your information just because you feel that it's valuable for people to know this stuff. And I just appreciate the crap out of you too. I'm trying to like make it funny so that I don't cry, because literally I've cried like 3 times today, but like all good tears. And yeah. So, okay, friend, on that emotional note. But seriously though, is there anything else you want to add about herbs?
I think the other thing maybe would be just to tune into yourself and really, instead of reading about what an herb should do, and this is actually really amazing for yourself, on any level, is just to kind of get in touch with the herb. I mean, the herb came from a plant. It has like this history. And if you can even experience the plant, or an equivalent of the plant, that's even better. Because if you look at the actual herb, like some are roots, some there are flowers, bark, and they all like kind of communicate something. And so understanding that is pretty cool if you're into that. And even if not, and you just want to take something to feel better, I think like the most valuable thing you can do is just really tune into yourself and ask yourself, like, how do I feel regardless of what I'm supposed to feel? How do I feel? That's really valuable.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible. And I think, yeah, I think so much of us as women, this is my personal perspective, just my health journey, like going through, you know, just, I would say essentially from like teenagehood, I just made that up, but like, you know, when in terms of like tuning out to your body, like I go through a period, I started my period, like how do I not think about this, like, the most, like, what can I do so I don't have to really be like, what's the word I'm looking for? Inconvenienced by this, about thinking about it. Like, why is this? Like, I don't want to think about why it's happening. I just wanted like it to go away. Right. So we start taking like hormonal birth control to control that and like to make it less like of a inconvenience on ourselves. And then, you know, what for me has been powerful, like when I started wanting to try and conceive, it was like, okay, how does this happen really? Like, I don't even know about my body. Like, I don't even know about how I'm feeling. Like, what does this mean? And start to get in touch with that. It's been so powerful. And I think that's why I'm bringing this all back in. I'm tying it in, I promise. It's like, you know, taking again, like the supplements and the herbs and like thinking about how I really feel and how physically I'm feeling and how certain things affect me. Has been such a powerful thing. And I think when you can tap into that, whether it's through supplements or whether it's through food, like how does a food make me feel physically and mentally? You get so much information and it's so empowering, and you realize that you have all of this knowledge, like just inside of you intuitively, if you listen. Exactly. I'm sorry. Oh. That was really deep, but I feel it.
I totally agree with you. I think, you know, we have a lot of answers inside of ourselves, and we just need to learn how to listen and tap in, and it's a lifelong journey, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah, totally.
Well, that I feel like that's a great place to end.
Okay.
So, Megan, mm-hmm. I love you. Thank you so much for being here again today. I'm sure we're going to have you on many, many more times to talk about herbs and anything else that you, I just like to listen to you talk. So anything else, you just reach out and let us know. Whatever you want to chat about, we'll have you on. So thank you again for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, friends. So Megan, tell us where we can connect with you in person. Well, I guess not really in person, through the interwebs or in person. How do we get in contact with you?
Probably the best way to reach out would be email. And then Instagram is also a good way. Sometimes you have to get into the DM thing, and cause you're, I have to accept your thing.
The other DM box.
Yeah. Yes. So that can be, sometimes I get backlogged there. But that's good. And then Facebook is probably, I miss a lot on Facebook, and yeah. I just downloaded the Messenger app. So now I'm more in touch. And so that's better, but, I missed a lot. There are times when I have, just any of the social media platforms or through email. My website is Megan, it's Megan Garcia, Garcia.com. And I have a lot of free ebooks. There's some ebooks on massage for baby and first foods. And then there's my blog. So
much information out there. So thank you again. I'm sure you're going to be, your inbox is going to be flooded after this episode. So I'm sorry in advance. Again, thank you so much for being here. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Modern Moms podcast. As always, if you feel so inclined, we would love to have you rate and review us on iTunes. That's where the more of those we can get, the more people we can reach. You can always email us at themodernmamaspodcast@gmail.com. And you can find us on Instagram, is where we're most active, at laura.radicalroots and at just.holdthespace. But thank you again for showing up every week. We love you guys so much, and we will talk to you soon.
I don't know what to say.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. See you next time.